Philippians chapter 3 this evening. Philippians chapter 3. And we'll be in verses 10 through 14 of Philippians chapter 3. Again, looking forward to next Sunday as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this message is kind of a, I don't know if you want to call it a springboard towards next Sunday, just something to get our minds and hearts fixed upon what we're going to celebrate next week. Because tonight we're talking about knowing Christ and just the wonderful truth it is about knowing Christ and how it changes our life. It really helps us to have the right perspective on life and to have our hearts fixed upon the one who loves us very deeply. So Philippians chapter 3, looking at verses 10 through 14, the Bible says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, we do again thank you for the evening that you've given us. We do ask that you bless our time together. Father, I ask that you would just help us, Lord, to be focused on you tonight, that you would remove all distractions, Lord, especially the distractions of our own thoughts, Lord. Help us, Lord, to hear from heaven tonight. We ask the Holy Spirit would guide us, Lord, to teach us all the truths of your word, helping us to hide it in our hearts. Father, I ask that you would be glorified in everything that has been done already, the singing, Father, that we have lifted up our voices and hearts to you in song and praise. Because, Lord, you truly are worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. And we do our best, Father, to live a life that brings honor and glory to you. And, Father, we just thank you for the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We, Father, thank you for the resurrection that we will experience as well, Lord, as we are resurrected into the eternal life, Father, that we will have with Christ. Father, I ask that you would continue to speak to our hearts, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As Paul writes to the church at Philippi, he again wants to encourage them in their faith and wants to remind them of their relationship with the Lord. And there are just several things as a Christian that we are to keep in mind and really to continue building upon, and that is the spiritual foundation that we have with Jesus Christ. In verse number 9 of Philippians 3, we're told that, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, Paul says, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We thank the Lord that he lived a perfect, sinless life, because we cannot live that sinless life that Jesus lived, but we are thankful that he did, so that he could die for our sins and shed that precious blood for the remission of sin. But as Christians, as being born again, being a child of the King, we want to continue being rooted and built up in Christ. We want our faith to continue being established, as Colossians 2:7 reminds us, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Again, as we are living in the last days and we're going to celebrate the resurrection next Sunday, we want to continue as long as the Lord gives us breath, to be rooted in Christ, to be built up in him, for our faith to continue to be established and to be strengthened in the Lord and in the truths that we have been taught through God's word. We want to continue building upon the foundation that's been laid for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a foundation that is unshakable. It's a foundation that is not faulty. It's a foundation that will not crack. Probably some of us have homes where the foundation has cracked and you just see the remnant of that, or you see the manifestation of a faulty foundation with the cracks in our walls and stuff, but Jesus is a foundation that is never faulty, will never waver, it will never be destroyed, and we can fix our faith upon that foundation. And it's with that that Paul says in verse 11, if by any means, I'm sorry, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. It's that foundation that Paul speaks about to the church at Philippi, that foundation of knowing Christ, knowing who he is, knowing the power of Christ, and knowing his presence in our life. That is having a true spiritual foundation. Many people think they have a spiritual foundation, but it's not built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's built upon opinion. It's built upon what they think is right instead of what is already been tried to be true, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So to have a true spiritual foundation, one that is strong, begins with knowing Christ. Look, if you would, at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Again, like I said this morning, no one can truly enjoy next Sunday unless they have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it begins with that foundation, the foundation that has been laid, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But to know his person, to know who he is, helps our foundation to be strong, because we know that he first loved us and therefore we love him. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 through 9, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Just stopping right there, someone that claims to know the Lord and yet they hate their brother, they hate somebody, they just refuse to forgive them. How can they have the love of Christ in them? The Bible goes on to tell us, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. To know the love of Christ is to really understand true love. Jesus Christ descended from his throne, not because he was forced to, but because he wanted to. Did you ever think about what drove Jesus to step down from his throne? What drove Jesus into the wilderness for 40 years? What drove Jesus to live a perfect, sinless life for 30 plus years and then to go to the cross of Calvary? What drove him? And it was the love he has for you and for me and for every single person. It is his love, his unconditional sacrificial love that never changes for you and me. To know Christ is to know his love. Do you know his love this evening? Have you experienced his love not just through the gift of salvation, but throughout your life since the moment of salvation? But beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And Paul says back in Philippians that I may know him. Paul wants to know more of the love of Christ. He wants to know more of the power of Christ. Because he says, I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Have you experienced the power of the resurrection of Christ in your life? If you're born again this evening, you should have experienced the power of Christ in your life, because it is Jesus that saves, but it's all Jesus that transforms us. It's Jesus that gives us the victory over this world. It's Jesus that helps us to be able to forgive our enemies. Because when we harbor bitterness and unforgiveness in our heart, there's a communication breakdown between us and our Savior. Because the Bible tells us, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sometimes, again, in our minds, we think, well, they're not deserving of my forgiveness. But again, we got to remind ourselves, we may not think they are deserving of our forgiveness, but what about our communication with the Father? We have been forgiven by the Father because of Jesus Christ. You know, I learned more and more that I'd rather have an open communication line with my Father than to hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness and downright hatred towards somebody or something. Because this world is temporal, but the next world is eternal. Relationships in this world are temporal. They're not long-lasting. But our relationship with our Heavenly Father is long-lasting. It is forever. It is eternal. And we want to know His power because it is His power in our life that really cements this foundation, that really helps us to be established in Christ, to be rooted, to be built up, as the Bible tells us in Colossians 2:7. In 2 Peter 1:3, the Bible says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The only reason why we can have victory over sin is because of the power of Christ in our life. It's not enough just to know the Lord. I've had many people tell me, well, I know God. I've known Him since I was a kid. And they're talking about going to church or talking about hearing the stories, but they don't have a personal relationship with the Lord themselves. Because Jesus said, if you know God, if you believe in God, believe in Me also. Because there are many that say, well, I believe in God, I just don't believe in Jesus. Well, you can't believe in God and not believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. To know Christ is to know Him personally. It is to know His love for you. It is to know His power in your life. Again, he says in 2 Peter, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory in virtue. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because the power of Christ is not just for a few. It's not just for a select. It is for all of His children. It is for all who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You and I cannot live the life that He's given us without His power working in us and through us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, as Paul writes to the believers at Corinth, he says, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul tells the believers there that when I came to you, I didn't come with, you know, all my pedigree. I didn't come with all my excellent speech, because Paul was a very learned man. He was a Pharisee. He was very eloquent in his speech. But yet when he came to them, he did not come lording over them. He didn't come to make them, you know, feel intimidated. He simply came in the power of Christ to present Christ to them. It says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ. He did not go to them knowing what the political arena was in Corinth. He didn't come to them wanting to know and come to them with the answers to politics or the answers to economics or to the answers to the things of this world. He came to them simply knowing Christ and presenting Christ, who has all the answers to life, has all the answers to your life and my life, and Him crucified. Now we know that Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross of Calvary. What's the big deal? We realize that the Bible tells us that without the crucifixion, without the resurrection, our faith is vain. Our faith is empty. But yet we know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is real because you've experienced it in your life. Again, those who have not experienced a transformation through Jesus Christ, those who have not asked Christ to come into their life, those who have not admitted that they are a sinner before a holy God, don't understand the resurrection. They don't understand why Christians gather together on a certain Sunday once a year to celebrate the resurrection, as many churches do. Most people are interested in the bunny that lays eggs, colorful eggs, that doesn't do one thing for them spiritually. Jesus Christ And knowing the power of his resurrection changes a life and gives victory in that life over the things of this world. Again, continue on in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should stand in the wisdom, or should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Where's your faith this evening? What is your faith based in? What is your faith grounded in? Because the Bible tells us that we're to walk by faith, not by sight. Many people, their faith is based in what they can see and what they can understand and what they can explain. But yet, for the child of God, for the Christian, for the born-again believer, it should stand in the power of God. Because our understanding is limited. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We don't understand as much as we think we do understand. But one thing that we do know and are certain of is that God loves me. And God loves you. For God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only begotten Son. And it wasn't based on who was good enough. It was based on all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Knowing Christ is a wonderful thing. Knowing who he is personally, getting to know his love, the fact that he loves me no matter what, no matter where I mess up, no matter how much I fail, no matter how much I may not progress in my transformation as quickly as somebody else, yet he loves me and continues to work in my life through his power. It's the Holy Spirit of God in us that helps us to be cultivated more into the image of Christ. But knowing who Christ is, knowing his power in our life and that he truly does give us victory over this world, then we understand that, you know what, his presence is with us. You know, you realize there are some people that they don't understand and don't believe that the presence of Christ is with them. What they have is just a religion and not a relationship. Never fall into that mindset that it's religion, but it's a relationship with Christ. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Now, one day we are going to be with the Lord. And as the Bible reminds us, he will be our God. He will dwell among us, but he dwells in us right now through the Holy Spirit. And what a wonderful truth that we, again, we have the presence of God in our life. And sometimes I think we forget that because of how we live. We forget that God is actually with me. Everywhere I go, everything I do, everything I watch, everything I listen to, he's with me. Every sinful thought I want to hold on to, every sinful emotion I want to continue holding on to against somebody else, the Lord sees it and the Lord knows it, and the Lord's not pleased with it. Because he is a holy God, and he calls us to be holy because he's holy. And again, someone would automatically, well, I can't be sinless. Only Christ is sinless. He's not calling us to be sinless. He's calling us to perfection. He's calling us to be like Christ, forgiving, gracious, loving. And we can all argue, including myself, I can't do that. No, we can't. That's why he's given us of his Holy Spirit. That's why his power works in us to accomplish what we cannot and sometimes what we do not want to do. Having that spiritual foundation, Jesus Christ that we can build our life upon, but it truly does have to come from a heart that truly wants to know him. And Paul, again, says that I may know him. He wants to know the power of his resurrection. He wants to know the power of his presence in his life. If you would, look at verse 11. Go back to Philippians chapter 3 if you're not there. Look at verse 11. Yeah, in verse 10, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Can I just stop there and just think about that? The power of his resurrection. Why does Paul want to know the power of his resurrection? What does the power of the resurrection of Christ do for anybody? It breaks the chain of sin. It breaks the bondage of slavery to sin and to the devil. We have liberty in Christ. We've been redeemed. But often the Christian puts themselves back in bondage to the devil by holding on to sin, by holding on to it. And God has broken us free of that. God has given us liberty. God has washed us in the blood of the Lamb. We have the liberty to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have this wonderful power in our life, this resurrection. In verse 11, he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Realize one day you will be resurrected and I will as well. We will be resurrected unto life eternal. Again, Paul is living in a state of mind that he wants to attain it. He doesn't want to live in the mindset, okay, I have a home in heaven. There's nothing else I have to do. Nothing else I have to work on. But he wants to live as though he needs to attain Christ. He wants to keep reaching forth to Christ. Again, you know what it's like when a child gets a gift. I know what it was like me when I was a child, and I would get gifts for birthdays or Christmas, or sometimes just out of the blue, my parents would like, bring me something. It was new, it was exciting. It was like, ha, I got this, yes. The newness wore off. The excitement wore off. I either broke it or got tired of it and just kind of threw it in the closet and forgot about it. That's not how God wants us to treat our relationship with him, because it is an exciting relationship. The fact that Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, actually wants to be involved in your life and my life on a moment-by-moment basis. Paul says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He's not talking about the resurrection of Christ. He's talking about his new life in Christ. Galatians 2:20, Paul had said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Before Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus and before mine and your conversion to Christ, whenever that happened in your life, we were dead. Dead in sins and trespasses. We were headed to a place called hell, where the love of God is not, where the glory of God does not shine, where the grace of God is not felt. And Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Paul became alive on the road to Damascus. The moment that you and I accepted Christ as our Savior, we became alive. We became new creatures in Christ. Even though we still are living in this sinful flesh, as Paul says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Because the power of the resurrection of Christ has given us new life. Old things passed away, behold, all things become new. That's why we can look forward to next Sunday. That's why we can be excited about the resurrection of Christ. That's why we can continue to have hope in the fact that he is returning. He is coming back. As he said, we will meet him in the clouds. We will see him face to face with all the other believers that are caught up in a blink of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye. The promise of the resurrection gives us power in our life. Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, do you have a new life in Christ? Are you a new creature in Christ? Do you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, Paul is telling the church at Colossae, seek the things that are pleasing to God. Seek the things that glorify God. Seek the things that lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek those things that will help you to be rooted and grounded in Christ, continuing to grow, continuing to be transformed into the image of our Lord and Savior, continuing to help us to have victory in this world, because we do not give in to the flesh. We do not give in to the devil, but we surrender our lives on a daily basis to the Lord and to his will. Look at verse 12. Verse 12, he says, not as though I'd already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. He says, I belong to the Lord, but I'm living as though I've got to attain it. Again, not talking about work salvation, but talking with the mindset and the heart that I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I want to keep the right mindset. I want to keep the joy of the Lord alive in my life. I want to have the right focus of living by faith, not by sight. And that's not blind faith. That's not me closing my eyes and walking over here and hoping I don't fall off the steps. Because you realize we're reminded of Peter. Peter did not jump out of the boat without Jesus saying, come. In fact, they were scared to death. They thought it was a ghost walking on the water. And Jesus said, be not afraid, it is I. And Peter said, if it's you, bid me to come out there. And the Lord said, come. And Peter walked on water, because he believed who told him to come. Walking by faith and not by sight is trusting the one who has sealed you with his Spirit, the one who knows you by name, the one who guides your steps, the one who has begun a good work in you and will finish it. He will accomplish it until the day of Christ, until we see him face to face. Walking by faith is trusting God even when we don't understand. Take your Bibles, go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Because as humans, we have a hard time walking by faith and not by sight. Some are better at it than others. Some struggle with it. Some just refuse to do it. But walking by faith, again, is truly trusting the Lord. In Proverbs 3, you look at verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Are there things in your life that you don't understand why they're happening, why they did happen? Sure. And you know what? We may never get an answer to it. But verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. We don't have to understand everything, but what we do have to do is trust him who is faithful. Trust him who loved us enough to step down from his glory, to walk the dusty roads of this sin-cursed world, to die on a cruel cross so you and I could have life. He's the one that we are to be following. He's the one that we are to be patterning our life after. He's the one that we are to be allowing to transform us from the inside out. In Romans 8:29, the Bible says, for whom he did foreknow. You realize he foreknew you before you were ever conceived in the womb? before you were even a thought in the minds of your parents, before you took one breath, he foreknew you and knew what your life would entail and knew the moment you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and even knew where you would be at tonight in your life, not in church. Yes, he knew you'd be in church, but where you're at mentally, physically, and spiritually in your life. And he still stands here wanting to help each and every one of us. Why? Because we have his spirit within us. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. There is a process that the Lord is helping us through, and that is a growth, a spiritual growth process. Because he has called us into the fellowship with him through Jesus Christ. He has justified us by the blood of the Lamb, just as if I'd never committed those sins. That doesn't give us a license to keep sinning, but it gives us victory over the accuser of the brethren who wants to always bring up our faults and our failures. No, the Lord's given me victory over that. The Lord's forgiven me for that. And helping us to be glorified. I mean, that's that continual sanctification where, again, he has begun a good work in us, and he will perform it until the day of Christ. He continues to help us to overcome ourselves, to overcome our shortcomings, to overcome the temptations that we're faced with, the things we want to hold on to that are not right in the sight of the Lord. You go back and you look at what Paul continues to say in verse 13 and 14. I mean, he, again, in verse 10, that I may know him. How much do we know Christ tonight? I know he's my Savior. I know he died on the cross. I know he's the Son of God. I know he's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I know he's coming back. But how much do we personally know him? Because to personally know somebody is to know their deep secrets. It's to know how they truly feel about you. It's to confide in somebody that you know isn't going to turn around and stab you in the back. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows us by our name. He knows every detail about our life. He knows what's on our minds. He knows what's pressing upon our heart. He knows what's weighing us down, and yet he cares deeply about us. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. In verse 13, he goes on to say, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He's saying, I haven't arrived to perfection. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Why let the past could have been right before you came into church, something heavy upon your mind, something you were struggling with. Why let the past control your life, control your present life and your future? Why let the past destroy your life? Why let the past destroy relationships? Why let the past have so much control over us when God's given us victory over it through Christ? Again, like I said, we can't properly celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ if we don't allow ourselves to walk with him, to truly let go of things that we cannot control, things that we cannot change. If we don't truly put our hands in, or our lives in his hands, knowing that he loves us. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul had a fixation in his life, and it was Jesus Christ. Lots of people have a fixation on things in life. Some things are good, some things are not good. But as a Christian, as a child of God, we should always have this spiritual fixation, that we are focused on our Savior. that we are focused on Christ. And Paul recognized his position. He said, I've not obtained. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended. All right. In 1 Corinthians 15:9, Paul says, for I am the least of the apostles. He says, I'm not anybody great. That I am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. I mean, Paul's not someone who's saying, okay, I'm better than you because I'm a Pharisee, I'm this, I'm that. Oh, God even chose me to be an apostle to the Gentiles. I can speak in different languages, and I've never gone to language school. I mean, all the things that Paul was able to do by the power of God on his life. Paul recognized he was nothing without Christ. Now, sometimes, you know, the devil wants people to beat themselves up. Teenagers, young people, even older people want them to beat themselves up in their mind thinking, well, I'm not worth anything. Nobody loves me. No one cares about me. No, that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is just saying, I know without Christ, I'm nothing. Paul remembers that he was a murderer. He remembers he persecuted the church. He remembers that he killed innocent people because he disagreed with them and disagreed with their faith. But he experienced the grace of God on the road to Damascus, that God gave Paul an opportunity to believe on the one he was persecuting. Because remember, when Jesus spoke to him on the road to Damascus, he said, Paul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He said, why are you persecuting me? Jesus takes it personally when one of his people, one of the redeemed, is being persecuted by somebody on this earth. Jesus takes it personally. That's a wonderful truth to know, because some people don't care what happens to you. Some people don't care if you get hurt. But Jesus does. You have ever been hurt by someone who didn't care? I'm sure we all have, minus some that haven't really experienced life yet. But it's a wonderful thing to know that Jesus takes it personally. Why? Because you belong to him. He's washed you in his perfect, sinless blood. He has sealed you with his Spirit. And Paul recognized his position that I'm nobody great, but I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm in the family of God. I am an heir to God and joint heir with Christ. And Paul rejected the past. He wasn't about to let anything keep him from enjoying his life in Christ. Philippians 3 and verse 8 says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Now, here he has Christ, but he's saying, whether good or bad in my past life, because again, he was born into the tribe. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Benjamite. I mean, all the things. We would say he had a great pedigree. I mean, just sometimes in America, I know we just use that term, you know, born with a silver spoon in his mouth. I mean, he had it all. But he counted it as dung that he could have Christ. And the things he did against Christ that the Lord forgave him, he didn't even let that cling on to him and keep him from moving forward for Christ and to keep him getting closer to Christ. He counted it but dung. Reject the things that hinder you from getting closer to the Lord. Reject the lies of the devil who wants to remind you of your failures and remind you and try to convince you you're not worthy to be a child of God. No, I'm not. But by his grace, I am. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am who I am. And the greatest thing that you and I can do to help us in knowing Christ more is to keep our eyes on him. Keep our eyes on the Lord. But Paul said in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12, Paul talks about running a race, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ being seated at the right hand of the Father reminds us of the victory that Jesus won for us. The victory that he won for us. We already had victory in this world. And Jesus already sees us seated at the marriage supper of the Lamb. He already sees everything because he's outside of time. He sees the end. And he sees where we're at right now. Paul said the only way Paul was going to be able to finish his race, the only way that Paul could write to Timothy and say, I have finished my course, I've kept the faith, was because he kept his focus on Christ. He kept his eyes on the author and finisher of his faith. He allowed Christ to do his work in him, through Paul's life. Knowing Christ isn't just knowing who he is, but knowing him personally, knowing his work in our life, knowing his love in our life, knowing his victory in our life, knowing his power in our life, knowing Christ. And those who truly know Christ, come Easter Sunday, that we call Resurrection Sunday, it means so much more than just thinking Jesus being part of some religion. No, we're worshiping the one who knows me by my name, the one who personally died for me, the one who personally works in my life to help me to be conformed more into his image, helps me to have the victory in my life over my accuser, over my adversary, over the devil, helping me to have a richer life in Christ.